and to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. have to stand up strong. Ain't the truth about themselves to understand what they're wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding. I'm trying to remember something. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I had to make a note to myself. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Welcome to the show that started late. I take responsibility, my fault, my bag. Really, it's my bag. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773-888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E, Jesse. And my biblical question is a doozy. Can you make a conscious decision? Can you make a conscious decision? Is my biblical question. We have every way that you can watch and can support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. And if you are running around, you can still listen to the show live on your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line. And you can podcast. You can always podcast, of course. But if you, some people like to hear as it is happening, and they got to run around too. So we made it possible for you to hear the show no matter what you're doing, no matter where you are, by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. Manhood Hour is coming up in the third hour. Manhood Hour. Every Wednesday, third hour of the show, Manhood Hour. All right? Hold on one minute. I got to do one thing. Okay, Manhood Hour. Do we have Bill? Bill Lockwood, our friend, is here. A friend of Bond, friend of mine, friend of America. Friend of America, Bill Lockwood. Soon to be the next president of the United States of America. If ever we need it, Bill, we need him now. Bill Lockwood is the host of Patriot Pulpit and Bible Studies with Bill Lockwood. He is a preacher at Our Part Church of Christ in Texas, and I want to really encourage you all to support him. There are some people that are really serious about this. They're not playing a game. They're not trying to get clicks and all that. Bill Lockwood is one of those men. American Liberty with Bill Lockwood.com. American Liberty with Bill Lockwood.com. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Jesse. How are you today?
All this well. Sorry for the slow takeoff this morning.
No, that's okay. That's fine.
Yeah. You doing well?
Yes, sir. You know, we've had a great big storm here, a lightning storm and a flood. So It's been kind of bumpy around here, but we're happy to have the water.
It's gone now?
No, it's still going on right now. Matter of fact, and my computer was knocked off this morning, so I had to reboot it and all that kind of fun stuff.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, I wish you guys well over there.
Well, thank you for that. You know, the roads are flooded, so I'm not even going to school today. So there we go.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, Bill, I want to talk to you about Trump and the Pope and all that. I want to ask you something that's been on my mind for a while now, and I thought, let me ask Bill Lockwood, since you're one of the smartest white men on this side of heaven, and that's the term. The word inferior, what does that mean?
The word inferior?
Right. I-N-F-E-R-I-O-R, inferior. What does that mean?
Well, inferior is the opposite of superior. It's below standard.
And what would cause something like that to happen in a human being?
That a person might be inferior?
Yes.
Well, I suppose it depends on what standard you're using. If you're using a standard, for example, of some kind of test, whether it be math. For example, if you're using a math test, I am inferior. So I'm going to be scoring below the bar. Some people are going to be scoring superior. Depends on what standard you're using.
And can it be overcome? Can you overcome inferiority?
Well, it depends on what kind of inferiority it is. If my brain is not functioning at an optimum level, because some people are born that way.
Inferior?
That's right. Their brains are not functioning. They're born, you know, with MR, and they might not be able to function. So I suppose we would say that the functioning of the brain would be inferior. That would not mean that the person himself or herself would be an inferior person, but it just depends upon what standard you're using and whether it's something that you're born with or something that you're not. If you're, for example, some people can overcome it. I know a lot of people who have been inferior in athletics, and they have actually labored harder and worked harder than other people who are more naturally gifted and talented, athletically speaking. And they work harder, and they're able to achieve greater things. So I think they can overcome the inferiority on that particular count.
Let's say it's not about math, right? Of course, some people are smarter in math than other people, right? That's like a given thing. But let's say in function and living in life and dealing with life and just having a life, are there people who are inferior to others when it comes to daily living?
You mean in respect to the work ethic that they have?
Yes, and the ability to take care of themselves, provide, and do what they need to do for themselves on Earth.
Well, I do believe there are some people who are inferior in that. And I, in my view, I think that a lot of that is taught, because people grow dependency upon others. For example, children living in the basements of their parents, and they are not taught, even from a young age, to be independent and to be assertive in making their own way in the world. And so they are completely dependent upon other people. And so that brings about, I think, inferiority in the sense, only in the sense of that they don't have a great work ethic. So, but God has given us something that would encourage us to have a good work ethic, and that is the hunger, the pain of hunger, the pain of want, the pain of not having, and that encourages people to overcome that inferiority that they have on their work ethic.
Nick, are we able to, since we started off late, can we go through this without stopping for a commercial? Okay. We're going to go through this commercial. We're not going to stop.
Okay.
I noticed, so can inferiority bring on jealousy and strife and envy and cause you to cry out for equality, since you're not able to do it yourself, are inferior to people jealous and envious and revengeful and things like that?
Well, it can. It can cause that.
And why would it cause that?
Well, it causes that because people are not God-centered and centered upon what that God has given us blessings. And so jealousy comes about when people are not relying upon God and forgiveness, and they allow things to burn in their heart against other people in spite of the fact that, okay, God has given me what I have, and I have great blessings, even though I look around and people around me are much wealthier than I. And yet, I guess I could spend my time looking at them and saying, well, they have something, and I deserve to get something that they have. Instead of that view, I should be taking the view that God has blessed me with what I have, no matter how small it may be financially or physically it may be. I should not look upon other people and grow envious of them. I should be thankful for what God has given me,
right?
And simply rejoice in what God has given me.
And the reason I'm asking this, I've been noticing lately that in America, that white people are superior to, and we're going to start with the blacks, that white people are superior to black people, and the blacks are inferior. And as a result of being inferior, they are jealous, they're revengeful, they are vicious, and they're nasty, and they blame the white people for their inferiority, and they attack white people. And then they cry equality. They're asking the people that are of superior to them, they are asking them for equality. And I think they mean, give me what you have without me having to go after it for myself, whatever that may be. And then I noticed that in America, over the last 30 years or so, give or take more, white people have done that, but it only made black people feel more inferior to whites. And then I noticed that other groups of so-called people of color, the Mexicans and Chinese, which I don't understand why the Chinese are, they're Asian people, they're smart. But they too, the homosexuals, the lesbians, all these other people are jumping on board, and they believe too that they see that white people are superior to them, especially the white man, and they too are becoming envious and jealous and revengeful and strife, and they're crying equality, and they tend to follow the inferiority group rather than the superiority group. Have you noticed that in America, that they're crying equality, they're blaming the superior people?
Well, okay, there's a lot to unpack there. So first of all, I would say, well, it depends upon what sense you're using, inferior and superior.
Let me say what I mean by that. Like, blacks are inferior, and they're not able to take care of themselves. They can't feed their families. They can't keep a family together. They want equality, so they want affirmative action and all that. So they've been able to get it, DEI and everything. And then other races of people are doing the same thing.
Well, okay, let's break it down just a little bit.
Okay.
Let's just break it down to two individuals, you and me. You're a black man, I'm a white man. I would not say, not because you're my friend, and not because I'm on a national program here, but I would not say that I'm superior to you or you're inferior to me.
I know you would, because you're superior. You wouldn't say that.
Well, yeah.
Because what I notice about superior people, they don't complain. They're doing what's natural. They're innovating. They're building. They're going on with their lives. So they're not thinking that they're superior or inferior. It's only they're doing what's natural. It's the inferior people who are thinking that.
Well, let's just keep it with okay. you and me for just a moment, just as an illustration.
All right.
There may be some ways that I'm superior to you, but there are some ways that you're superior to me. I don't know which all those ways are, but I would not say that, okay, across the board, one of us is superior to the other. And I think that's important for us to recognize, Jesse, don't you? That
yes.
It just depends on what we're talking about as far as, okay, categorization, this person is superior to another. I will say this, that there are cultures such as on the African continent that are inferior as far as progress is concerned. They live just like the American Indian did here on the continent of America, and they live in a tribal system. That tribal system, that the entire culture has no ability for itself, in and of itself, to progress such as the European culture did. So when the Europeans came to this continent, we were able to, and with the help of God's freedom, that we were able to craft a constitution that unleashed the freedom of man, we were able to make progress unlike anything else. So as far as cultures are concerned, I would say, yes, there are superior and inferior cultures. I don't know that that means, it just depends on what you were talking about in the individuals, whether we're talking about the functioning of the brain or or we're talking about athletic ability or whatever. But there are superior cultures and inferior cultures. But as far as individuals, I'm a little hesitant to draw that kind of a line. And also I want to say this, that of course has no bearing on our value before God. You're just as valuable if you're superior or inferior to me as I am to God.
But have you noticed that even right now, speaking of the Trump administration, I hear this a lot, that Trump, especially from blacks, that Trump has all white men, white people okay. running his thing, right? And
oh
Trump
my goodness.
Is doing that because Trump knows that white people are superior to everybody else. Now, Trump is not walking around thinking about this. It's not in his mind,
right.
but he knows that if he want to get anything done, he needs to put together a group of white men, some white women, but white men if he want to get it done. And even the inferior blacks know that if they want to get something done in their homes or their company, if they have a company, they're going to hire the superior people, white people. And so it's not like white people walking around thinking that they're superior, but like I said, a superior person doesn't think that they're superior. They're doing what's natural to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the inferior people that's jealous. Their eyes are set on the superior people, and they're jealous of the superior people. But the superior people don't even understand that. They don't think about that. They're just doing natural thing. And so I noticed that the blacks over the last 70 years, they're so inferior to the white people. All they ever can do is say, give me this and try to take this and blame that. They're blaming white men now for making America great again. And then I noticed that other races that come into our country, they do the same thing. They follow the blacks. You have the Alauaba people blaming white people and the Jews for their failure after they come into our country. They want to kill the white. They want to destroy America, beat Satan, or whatever they call it. And so do you see what I'm talking about? That white people are superior, but they're not thinking about themselves as that way. They're just doing what's natural, where every other race is looking at them and jealous and want to hurt them and take what they have. Do you see my point?
I see what you're saying. I will say that I would not categorize just white people. For example, let's just take the Germans and the Jews. They are people who are more apt in certain areas. And you know, they've had a great progress with Germans in the past. much more so than other cultures and Europeans as a whole. And I think that's true. They have had much superior progress in the European culture.
Than right, all in, over the world, right. Bill.
Yeah, that's true. And I will say, just to turn it for a moment, this is exactly why, not the only reason why, but this is one of the reasons is that the Congress of the United States made it in the past, they made it so that the immigrants coming to the United States was on a quota system, and they would have quotas from Europe, European nations, and the other nations, and we did it that way because we recognized, not because we wanted white people, but because the European culture had more infused in it the concepts of constitutional liberty and what a constitution is. For it came out of Europe that we have. In England, we have the Magna Carta and other documents of freedom. So we wanted people who are acquainted with freedom and free government, we wanted those people to come into America in larger numbers than others, for example, from the African continent, because they have no acquaintance with free government and the mechanisms of free government. So, matter of fact, this was changed dramatically by Ted Kennedy. Ted Kennedy, in the 1960s, argued incessantly that this was racist, that we can't do this, and he says we're going to level the playing field and bring in people from the African continent and other continents of people of color, because he said that will only be fair. But the people on the other side would say, well, if that happens, then we'll be overrun. If we break down, we're going to be overrun by the people from the African continent and the South American continent as well. And we're going to be changing America completely. He argued, said that will not be the case, knowing that it would be. And that's exactly what's happened. So we've actually changed the culture of America. But that kind of is a background on the culture of Europe as opposed to other portions of the world, such as in South America.
James, I need hate to come here for me. He's white. Bill.
Okay. All right.
I think he can help me explain it. Bill, if Kennedy didn't know that other races were inferior, would he have had to make that decision to do it that way? He can see, because as I said, superior people don't think about being superior. They're just doing what's natural. But he were able to see that these people of color were inferior. At least they presented themselves as inferior. If Kennedy hadn't noticed that, would he have had to do that?
Well, that may be true, and I'm not denying that fact. But his goal, in my view, was to change America and make it a socialist nation,
right,
where we have a dependent class on the government, and that's what we get when we have the people from the African continent and the South American continent coming in. He knew that they would be more a dependent class on our government than we have all before known. And that's what we've come to right now in America. That's what we are. I mean, you can't, right now, if we talk about getting rid of the welfare state, we're going to have a civil war in this nation. But the welfare state is anyway, that's what he was after.
But if a white American didn't allow the inferior people into their countries, they wouldn't have to come up with socialism, right? Because they would just be flying around the earth, around the country, doing their natural thing.
Well, that may be going too far. You know, Karl Marx was the father of socialism. He himself said that he was a socialist. He said he was a scientific socialist, and he was a German Jew. And the Jews, many of them, Stalin himself was a Jew. They came up with socialism, but it was an anti-God position that drove him to socialism, because socialism has embedded within it an anti-God element.
Right.
Atheism is at the heart of it. So That's how Karl Marx came up with it. So I wouldn't say, well, okay, we'd be fine if we didn't have any of the other, you know. So Karl Marx himself, yeah. You know,
but could, if no one saw themselves or believed that they were inferior, then Karl Marx or no one can build a socialist society, because no one would see themselves as an inferior people or person. If you're not inferior, you can't be used in that way. Am I right?
Well, that may be true, Jesse. I don't know. That's some heavy thoughts. I don't know. I'm not quite sure really on that.
So Hake, you remember Hake, right?
James Hake, yes, I do. There he is, yes.
Hey.
La, la, la.
So he's white, and I want to bring you in on this because he's white. You are white. Do you know you're superior to all the other races?
At some things, it's just plainly obvious. But I don't really think of it like that.
What? Right, because superior people are normal, and they're just doing normal superior stuff.
Right.
And they're not running around thinking, I'm superior.
That makes them inferior when they start to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so have you noticed that whites are superior, and then the blacks are inferior, and then other people of color jumping aboard because they want some free equality stuff, and so they're jumping aboard? And they are blaming the superior people for everything because they want free stuff now due to being inferior?
You know what? I think that, yeah, I do, actually. And I think that it speaks to the socialism thing, because they say that socialism is, like, based on envy. Or, you know, all of this DEI stuff,
right,
and affirmative action and welfare, take from the rich. The rich who are, like, superior, they're
right,
good at making money and keeping it. And some people just work smart, and other people either don't work or they work hard but foolish with their money.
And so am I right in that white people are superior without thinking about being superior? They're doing their thing. They make America work. They're creative. While the inferior people are sitting back just looking, being jealous and envious and all that.
Yeah, by and large, that's undeniable, I think.
So now, Bill, what you got to say?
Well, I would say, number one, we've created that. And it's not, I'm not talking about slavery, but we've created it with the welfare system. And LBJ himself, one of the crafters of the welfare system, stated it very, very boldly and bluntly. And he said, we're going to have all those blacks, and he didn't use that term, voting Democrat from now on. And he did that purposely to make people, the black people in America, dependent upon the government. He said that on purpose. And so he wanted it that way in order to create a socialistic society.
Right.
Unfortunately, the blacks have fallen right into the black culture in America has fallen right in line with that. And now that, you know, not to say that whites are not on welfare also, but that is human nature, Jesse. That's not simply black culture. That's human nature to take advantage of other people. And so that's why in the Bible, if a man doesn't work, neither let him eat. It was not simply a culture. It was not simply a race. That is human nature to depend upon someone else and to take advantage of someone else and to create that kind of system.
But, and you're right, but if the blacks didn't know that they were inferior, and if the blacks were not inferior and they were superior, just be superior people, they, Lyndon B. Johnson or no one else could do that, right, to them.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I think he could do that to anybody.
Can you do it to a superior person?
Well, we right now live in a welfare state.
Right, but because of the inferior people.
But that's not only blacks on welfare.
Right, because so other people joined forces too. They want free stuff, and so they play the role of inferiority as well.
So let's just go to East Kentucky, where I used to live.
Okay.
There were no blacks in East Kentucky that I counted. I mean, there may be some here and there, but primarily, but there were poor, poor white people. And they were all, most of the whole culture was based upon government doling out, government handout. But if you wanted to remove that in one swipe, you're going to have major trouble. Just the same as if you're going to go to Baltimore, Maryland and say, we're cutting off welfare today. You're going to have trouble. So I think it's human nature, but it may be right that the blacks are more susceptible to doing that. But I think it's true with human nature as a whole that people take advantage. For example, let me just give you an example. In Jamestown and also in Massachusetts Bay Colony, where John Winthrop was the governor, and they tried the system of socialism. But you know what? They decided we've got to scrap it because Winthrop said himself, he said, you know, the men are simply lazy. They had a place where they brought the common food to a store bin, and then they would dole it out by the government. But he says, now everybody's being lazy, and you're going to find people laying around not working, and we're falling short on our supplies because no one has an incentive to work. But there were no black people there. It was a white culture. But that was what socialism did to Massachusetts Bay Colony. And by the way, America should learn from that, and Jamestown also, where John Smith overturned it and said, you know, we've got to cut it out. But we don't seem to learn from history. Anyway, that's my story.
Okay. I wanted to take some calls on this if you have time.
Sure, I'm happy to.
Let me ask, hey, if the blacks were not inferior to white people, period, would they be crying for equality, or would they simply be living their own lives as individuals?
They would be living their own lives. And it's like a spirit of inferiority. It's not just lesser capabilities, because people can live and get by and be perfectly happy on lesser capabilities, but that they're using. You know what I mean? Like you can.
Yeah, you can.
You can be not that rich, but you're getting on just fine and you're content.
So, Bill, you and Hank agree with me that white people are superior, but because it's natural, they're not walking around thinking, I am superior.
Okay.
Am I right? You agree with that, right?
Well, I don't think I'd word it that way. But
right, because you're superior.
Well, yeah. Well, you got me either way.
But God doesn't call himself God. He called himself I am. But we call him God because God is superior. So he doesn't even think about being superior. He just is. Like white people on earth are superior, so they don't think about being superior. Why would you, if white people are not superior, why would people of color in government, congressmen, senators, and all that, why would they say Trump picked a bunch of white men to be superior? They have to know, too, that those white men are superior.
Well, I think they grew up in a black culture that teaches that very thing, that the blacks are oppressed and the whites are the oppressor, and it's a socialistic Marxist model. But I like the way James Hake put it. It's actually a spirit of inferiority. Yeah. It's not actual physical or mental capability. It is a spirit that is infused into people. And I think that's what happens in the black culture.
Let me take a quick break. Okay. When I come back, top of the hour break, the hate news, not the fake news. When I come back, folks, we're going to take some call on this, and then we're going to move on. It's so interesting to me. Back in a moment, 2 miles to go.
It's like being married, and the wife would do things to make you mad, or she would do things to make you feel good. And men do that to women, too, when they want something from the woman, especially sex. They'll make her feel good, or they'll make her angry. And the woman's going to have to say, you don't want to be angry. You want to speak up. You want to disagree with what's going on. It's wrong. But do not be angry. Then you won't have fear. You won't have doubt. You won't have worries. You'll be able to see. But you got to stay away from anger. That's why you must forgive your mothers and your fathers so that you can overcome the spirit of anger. It's a spirit and it's wicked. Nothing good in anger because it has no love, folks. You need love to defeat evil. And love is not a weakness. It's a strength. It's from God. It's his nature.
Some serious mess going on in the world, and some natural and nice and fun and good things, I suppose, as well. Pete Hegseth, Trump's first 100 days, and spring has definitely sprung, right? When did spring start? Was that in March, or was that in 10 days ago in April? Something like that. This is the end of hour one of the J.S. Lee Peterson Show with Bill Lockwood. It's the last Wednesday of the month. Last day of the month, actually, I believe. January, February, March, April. Yeah, last day of the month, 30 days. The lines are full, guys. JLP will be right back, and he will get to your calls, along with, I believe, Bill Lockwood of Patriotic Pulpit and of Bible Studies with Bill Lockwood on both YouTube and Spotify. And I believe Patriotic Pulpit is also on Apple Podcasts. You can support Bill Lockwood, American Liberty with BillLockwood.com. That's where you can donate to support his work. Great podcasts over there and church services. Anyway, it is Hake News, not Fake News. Once again, the lines are full. You can call in every so often, though, just in case a line opens up. But Commie Nonsense Network, CNN, reports that spring has finally arrived in Jade Walker of Commie Nonsense's neck of the woods. The last frost date isn't until next week over back east, I guess, and up north, whatever. The trees are abundant with white and pink blossoms. Indeed, even in just a block over, the naked trees are now full of leaves. They're no longer naked, and they are giving nice shade under the spring sun. Very cool. The birds have returned from their southern sojourn. And once again, singing songs at 5 in the morning. Very nice. And the daffodils and tulips blooming. Colorful petals when you pass by. This is Commie Nonsense Network's Jade Walker reporting. And I'm reading it. If you have the opportunity, go outside and notice the season. It's a fleeting one. And then summer is coming hard. Pete Hegseth, speaking of tough, House Republicans tucked a provision into a rule approved yesterday, Tuesday, effectively prevents Democrats, I call them demon rats, shout out, from launching an investigation into Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth's use of the commercial messaging app Signal. Signal is for better privacy, right? Generally, better privacy than these other apps. And it's just a private messaging app, shout out. A lot of journalists use it. Pete Hegseth is a journalist. In March, Pete Hegseth and other top officials discussed a U.S. military attack on the Houthis in Yemen. And I believe that was a successful attack, by the way. In a group chat on Signal, a conversation inadvertently included a far-left, off-the-deep-end liberal journalist who leaked out the info. Earlier this month, it was revealed Pete Hegseth created a second group chat, supposedly on his personal phone. Prior to that, I guess, and allegedly shared details about those same airstrikes with at least 12 people, including his wife, brother, and lawyer. What's the harm in that? Not that I would do it. I disavow it. I certainly don't talk shop and business with my friends and family. I disavow it. But Pete Hegseth is a journalist guy. They leak everything to everybody. Earlier this month, it was revealed Pete Hegseth, blah, 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 blah. I already said that. Representative Adam Smith, the supposed top Democrat, top of the dung pile, on the House Armed Services Committee, leading the charge for the so-called resolutions of inquiry, to force a vote calling on President Trump and Pete Hegseth to turn over communications about military operations against the Houthis in Yemen, shared on the app. GOP's rule changed, however, and so Adam Smith won't get a full chamber vote before September 30th. Nice, because that's just politics. To celebrate the 100th day of his second term, President Trump held a rally in Warren, Michigan yesterday. Did you know that? He touted his accomplishments, blasted detractors, and said, "We've just gotten started. You haven't seen anything yet." Shout out, and I believe him. His speech contained supposed falsehoods, like common nonsense knows what that is. So you can check that out. Shout out to our greatest President Trump. I'm James Hake, now back to JLP and Bill Lockwood in Hour 2.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the second hour. Manhood Hour is coming up in the third hour. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773. 888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question, a doozy. It's a Mamma Mia, it's a Hola, it's a Si Señor, it's a Gracias, and it is a Como Te Levo. Can you make a conscious decision? Can you make a conscious decision? That's the biblical question. To if you're running around, we are heard around the world by everybody, and their mama, if you're white, and everybody, and they mama, if you're black, around the world. So you can be listening to the show on your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. You can also podcast. And we're going to get to your super chats to donate and have your comments read out loud. Go to Buy Me a Coffee. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bond JLP Cash App. And we are going to get to your super chats. Bill Lockwood is with us. For those who don't know, Bill Lockwood is here every month, the end of every month. He is the host of Patriot Pulpit and Bible Studies with Bill Lockwood. He is the pastor of Our Park Church of Christ in Texas. And we're going to give out his information as to how you can support him, and I really want you to. I want to encourage you to. At American Liberty with Bill Lockwood.com. Bill, thank you for hanging out a little longer for us. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm happy to do that, Jesse. Thank you for having me. I do want to say one thing. I don't go by the term pastor. I'm just a preacher.
Yeah, I thought about that when I said that.
Yeah, I knew you did. That's okay. But, you know, in the Bible, the pastors are elders, and there are always a plurality of them over every congregation. So, okay. And they have qualifications. But anyway.
So you're the preacher.
Preacher, yes, sir. That's right. Okay. Because we want to do Bible things and Bible ways and Bible things and say in Bible terms.
Right on. Amazing. So I want to, for those who are just tuning in, I ask Bill and James Hake. Hake is the host of the HakeReport.com Monday through Friday from 9 to 11 a.m. He's also an expert, one of the experts on JesseLeePeterson.com. And I've noticed, and I've heard anyone talk about this, but I've noticed over the last 30 years or so, that white people are naturally superior to other races. And I use my country first because in America it's whites and blacks. And so I've noticed over the last 30 years or so, white people are superior to the blacks. And the blacks, it doesn't matter what job they hold, how much money they have, where they live, They could be in government, politicians, representatives, everything. They still cry equality from the white man. And because they know that the white man is superior to them, but the white man doesn't know it or don't know it because white men and white people are just kind of living their life being superior. But they're not thinking, I am superior. They're just doing what's natural, right? It's like a free person. When you're free, you don't think about being free. You're just free. It's only when you're in prison that you think about being in prison. So, Bill, I want to hold you a little while longer, and then
that's great.
I want to add one other quick thing. If black people in America and around the world, there's a black woman on X. I don't know if this story is true or not. Is she doing it? Is it real or she's doing it for clicks? But she moved to South Africa, I believe, to get away from American racism. So she moved to South Africa, and now she's crying bullets. She want to come back home. Come back to America. She's talking about how bad things are over there, that the blacks are out of control, the violence, the crime. They can't get electricity a certain time of the day, and they go for hours in a day. She's hungry. She can't find good food. She want to come back to America. And it's another proof that white people are superior, because when white people ran South Africa, it was beautiful. It was working. But the black people being inferior to the white, they cried racism, they attacked the whites, and whites moved away into the foreign land, and now they're building up the foreign land, and the blacks are going out there trying to destroy them there. If black people didn't see themselves as inferior to whites, would they be doing that? No matter what, somebody tried to bring in socialism or whatever, but if black people did not see themselves as inferior, would they be doing that, or would they naturally live their lives as well?
Well, once again, that's a heavy question. I mean, there's a lot to unpack there, but in South Africa, that's true. That's what's happening, and the whites have fled. There was a white dominated government back in the 1970s, and America itself became. We were just so inflamed. We said that's racist. And so the Al Sharptons of the world were all over saying we got to stop that. And our government got involved and we said, you got to have more blacks in it. So we turned it over to the blacks. And now it is in disarray. And not only disarray, but there's a lot of violence taking place. Yeah. But that's how Nelson Mandela came out of that kind of stuff. He was at the African National Congress. And they were about necklacing people and violence and demanding the rights to run their own government. Well, okay, so they're running it, and it is going into the ground. So that's all true. But as far as if they would do that, if they didn't realize they're inferior, I don't know, but that is true what's happening.
And you want to comment on that, Hank?
You make an interesting point that they do see themselves as inferior.
Yeah.
And that's why they're like that. That's why they think about whites a lot and blame them and come up with crazy ideas when a situation between a white and a black happens. That is a inferiority complex.
An inferior person is not going to say, I am inferior. They're going to say, I want equality, I want this, I want that. Mm-hmm. You're discriminating against me.
It's like anger comes from a weak position.
Absolutely.
Because you can't accept reality.
Good example. Perfect example. And a white person not going to say, I am superior, because they're just doing what's natural, just doing their thing, going through life, being functioning in life. So you're not thinking, I am superior. And you notice these people chasing you, but you're not even thinking that they're doing that because I'm superior. You're thinking, well, they're doing it because, you know, socialism or whatever, right? But, Bill, I think I'm on to something. I haven't heard anyone else speak about this, but it's so clear.
Well, I mean, it may be. You know, Jesse, I actually think that it's, well, when we talk about inferiority and superiority, just like we began the discussion, we're using a broad brush, and it just depends on what category we're talking about. There's some things, I mean, we're talking about math skills, musical ability, scientific achievement, athletic abilities. What are we talking about? And what makes an inferior or superior person? I am hesitant to say, okay, if you're a great mathematician and scientist and all that, you're a superior person than the other person who might have a greater ability in another area. But that's true. We all have different talents and abilities.
Right.
You know, Jesus said this in Matthew 25. He gave some 5 talents, some 2, and some 1. To each according to his several ability. God gave individuals different amounts of abilities and opportunities. And that's true. Matthew chapter 25, he tells us that is the case. But it is wrong for the ones who have the less talents and less abilities to look upon the person who has 5 talents and say, you know, if I had those,
yeah,
I would be just this kind of guy. Or I desire that one because if I had 5 talents like the 5 talent man, then I would not be able to manage them successfully. So God did give individuals different amounts of talents according to that parable in Matthew chapter 25. The key is if we're going to be faithful to do what God has given us to do, and he has given me talents, you talents, perhaps you more, me more, I don't know. But the key is whether I'm going to be faithful to what God has given me and not spend my time looking upon other people and saying, they have more than I have and I want that.
Nice. I want to go to the phone. One quick question, both of you, you and James. Could it be possible that white people are superior, but because it's natural, they don't think about it, that the black people being inferior, that they do see you as superior, but you're not thinking that that's what it is because it's natural to be superior? Could it be that black people do see themselves? What?
I do think that's possible. I think that...
I rest my case.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I do say that's possible.
And how about you? Do you believe it's possible that white people are superior, but it's so natural, you're not thinking of yourself on a daily basis, I'm superior. You're just living a superior life. And then the black people see themselves as inferior, and they're constantly watching white people being jealous and complaining. And they don't know that, they don't realize it.
Yeah, a lot of times there's this, when you have an interaction with the person thinks that you think that you're better, and you're not even thinking anything like that.
Right, the inferior person think that.
Right, or
I want to go to the phone. Let's go to Maze, our friend Maze out of out of Dayton, Ohio. Maze, good morning. You're on with Bill Lockwood and James Hake. Hey, Maze.
Hello,
James
Maze.
James cannot answer your question, and Bill Lockwood can't either. Oh, what? I have a question for Bill. Bill, do you pray to your Bible or do you pray to God?
Do I pray to the Bible or pray to God?
Yes.
Well, that answer is obvious. I pray to God. Why?
Okay, so then you're not superior to nobody? But when you get talk about welfare, now welfare was not invented for black people, was it?
I would not say it was invented for black people.
But that came
people.
Out of your mouth.
No, I didn't say that. No, I said LBJ was one of those who fostered it and pushed it, and he made the statement that we'll have blacks voting Democrat all of our lives, such as perhaps, I don't know, do you vote Democrat?
No, I don't. I'm independent. I don't believe in Democrat or Republican because they both...
LBJ said, you know what, we're going to put them on welfare.
Okay, don't take me off. Then when you talk about welfare, okay, Elon Musk is the biggest welfare baby in the room. So if black people had the same opportunity and envying in their own country to do what he did, they'd be well off. So when you talk about welfare, you don't talk about you always talk about the poor welfare people that get welfare that they're getting something free. So what did Eli get? Did he get something free? Elon get something free? and the contractors and all those people that
May, keep... let him respond.
I suppose you know more about it than I do, Mays. I have no idea.
But when you're in your pulpit, you need to give it to the people that you sitting here being
in. Mays, he said that he doesn't have any idea if Elon Musk got anything free or not.
You said he's a welfare baby. Why do you say that?
But I'm saying the Congress, even you can look at the Congress, they get free welfare.
Mays, he asking you, why do you say Elon Musk is a welfare baby? Why
because
do you say that?
Contract, he got government money. That's why.
What do you mean?
He got money for Tesla, and he got money for space thing. He got American money, my tax dollars, just like he got yours. So you're not no black is inferior to you. You just envy people. So that's why I say, why Russia and Ukraine fighting each other? Those are Caucasian people. They're not white black people fighting each other. For what? For their land? Or are they just fighting people? Just they fighting each other just to be fighting?
Jay, want to respond to the Elon Musk money?
Well, Jay,
Lord,
too.
Hold on, Mace.
Elon Musk got that stuff to do a job, not for free.
Elon Musk
poor.
Got a government contract. Didn't he, James?
Right. A contract is not welfare.
Research. He got it through government contracts. Your tax dollars are mine.
All government contracts are not welfare. Sometimes they are, but they're not in this. I don't think they are in this case.
If they're getting government funding, what is it besides welfare? You're getting taxpayer money.
Paid for a job. Paid to save the astronauts from space, for example.
Well, when it comes to somebody being envy of people, they take from other people to make themselves look good, and then people think they are superior. But no, you don't take from people and make yourself superior to them after you don't took their goods and everything, and then sit around and talk about it, act like it didn't happen.
But that's called being smart.
Do you preach that out? Do you sit in your pulpit and preach that out every Sunday? When you take from somebody because of your envy, you shouldn't be envying people.
Bill, let me ask, would a superior person be speaking like Mays is speaking and that Elon Musk got something free? So Elon Musk got welfare free, and I should be getting it too. Would a superior person be speaking that way? Bill.
Did he fall out?
Oh, you're asking me?
Right. Bill, Mays is complaining that Elon Musk got free stuff from the government to do what he's doing.
And Mays has two, so what's the difference?
What do you say? I'm asking
Mays
you what's the
difference. Mays has two. Mays has got stuff free.
Mays, hold on a minute. Listen to Bill. Hold on.
I'm just going to say... Our whole system is basically a welfare system. 75 to 80% of our entire federal budget is spent on one another redistributing the monies that we have or opportunities. That's all welfare. It's impossible for a person to live in this country without receiving something. Even though I may say it's wrong, I don't want to do it. I think it's unconstitutional. We need to go back to the Constitution. So Mays herself has received some kind of benefit from the government too. So where are we?
I don't get government home. What are you talking about? I guarantee you got one. you have gotten a government loan. So you did you call that welfare? You got
a government loan.
You never got a government loan for Mays.
What?
You never gotten a government. So you don't own a home?
What? No, I don't.
Oh, you rent.
Did you go to school?
I didn't go to school. I didn't do none of that stuff.
So you don't
to school at all?
No, I didn't. That's what I'm saying. Bright people, when I listen to bright people talk.
How'd you learn to read?
Is that beware of false prophets.
How did you learn to read, Jane, want to know?
Once upon a time, it was a lot of cute people from reading.
No, how did you learn to read?
Same way he learned to read.
My mother taught me to read.
How did you learn to read?
How did I learn to read? The same way you did.
In school? I learned to read at school. You did too?
I learned to read in the church.
Mays, did you go to public school at all? Did you ever go to public school?
Mays, Bill has a question for you, Mays.
Mays, did you ever go to public school?
Yes, I did. So what was wrong with
you? Okay, so you received public welfare.
No, I didn't receive no public welfare.
Yeah, you did too. Someone paid it, and you didn't pay for your own. That's right.
But then Mae says she didn't go to school. Now she says she went to public school.
Lying.
Yes, I went to public school. And what's
but
wrong
you
with
said you said she went to church.
She needs to go back to church and repent on that.
Let me tell you something about
you said you didn't go to school.
Public school?
Mae.
I'm talking a lot.
Mae.
School get welfare
money.
Mae. School is
Mae.
So what?
You said you didn't go to school. But now you say you did. Did you go to school or didn't you go to school?
Well, no, I didn't.
So you didn't go to
Steve it.
But
you did not go to public school.
I mean, from talking a lot with.
So what, Bill?
She did not go to public school at all.
I don't know. She said she
did. Cincinnati?
She said she did, and now she says she didn't.
I mean, you know what? Did you go to public school?
You know what? In Cincinnati, I know very well that they have officers who come and take children and put them in school. And if your parents didn't send you to school, they would come and find your parents if you didn't go to public school. You know you went
to
a public
school,
man.
Did everybody have to go to school in this country? Were they paying?
I got to run because I have no idea where you're going with this. I have no idea where you're going with this. I should let Mae go. She kind of all over the place.
Well, my only point, Jesse, is this, that the public school system is really a system of welfare. I am paying big bucks right now for a bunch of children to go to school that do not belong to me.
Yeah.
That is a redistribution of finances is what it is. It's a welfare system, and that's what we're on here.
Yeah.
And Elon Musk did get, I mean, you could call it welfare because his environmentalist electric cars may have gotten some government funding like all the other electric stuff.
Right.
Although he got discriminated against, I heard, by Biden.
Amazing. Let me go to Robert out of Kansas. Robert, welcome to the show. You're on with Bill Lockwood and James Hake.
Hello, Jesse, Bill, and James. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
You know, the thing about school is I really do think it's to make you dumber. They've done some research on that recently, and it seems kids get dumber the more they go to school. So anyway, I wanted to talk about superiority, inferiority. So, like, if you look at
Let me
at
ask,
a car,
before you get into do you agree with me that white people are superior and the blacks and others now, excuse me, who are jumping on board are inferior? Do you agree with me on that?
Well, I would say, Jesse, that whites are superior in the ways that they are. Men are superior to women in the ways that they are. There's levels, of course, in individuals.
And so how are white people do white people know they're superior?
Yes, I think deep down, you know,
I'm not just talking about women. I'm talking about period.
Well, women know that men are superior to them.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in my country, I've noticed that all I ever hear, the blacks complaining about the whites. And all that the whites are ever doing is trying to live their lives. And they're being creative. They're doing their thing while the black people are looking at them and they're jealous, they're envious, they're revengeful, they're attacking them, murdering them, robbing them, and so the blacks are inferior, and then other people of color are jumping on board, and they want equality too, pretending or acting like they are inferior to the whites. Have you noticed that?
Yes, sir. I would to answer your question, Jesse. Whites are certainly superior. That's obvious. It couldn't be more prima facie in terms of, yes, they are superior. I was talking about Karl Marx. You know, the Jews are obviously superior at evil. The blacks, there is some superiority in the blacks. I love how fearless, there's a fearlessness and a honesty.
There's nothing honest about black people.
There's some things about black people. There's something they are a very strong people.
And what? At what?
You have to recognize.
Bill, what are black? Bill, do you agree black people are strong in some areas?
In the way
I do
say.
Hold on, Robert.
Yeah. I do think Robert's right on that. I do believe that blacks are stronger in some areas.
What
For example,
area?
Athletics.
Why do you say that?
Look at the National Basketball Association, NBA. What several years ago, a study was done regarding even the muscle density of the blacks compared to whites, and they came across, they came away with the idea that said, you know what, they have different muscle densities. There are differences in the muscle structure of blacks than there are whites. And, you know, many black people, they hated that. They argued about that. They said, no, that cannot be, because they didn't want to recognize that there's a difference. But I do believe that physically, regarding sports, I think there's a difference, and I think that's obvious.
But that's not real strength. That's physical strength. I'm talking about the ability to just live your life without being jealous and envious and revengeful toward anyone else, and being creative and doing your thing, bringing things into the world that can help others, just kind of living and not even having the idea that someone can hold you back, or somehow or another you got to be mad at someone else. They need to give you something for you to have a life.
Well, that's why I agree with Robert on this one. You know, like he's talking about men and women. Women are superior to men in some respects.
In what way?
That is, in nurturing children.
What?
In nurturing children.
Oh.
That's right. Women are superior to men. That's why women birth the children. They're more nurturing. But there is a difference between men and women. It just depends upon what category you're talking about. And I think that's what Robert was getting at here.
Yes, Robert.
Yes, Jesse. Yes, women are so good at relationships and certain other things. They have no physical strength, so they have to go into other means of how they protect themselves and run their lives. They have the ability that they do. Women do what they do. We like Bill said, we can't nurture a child from our body. That's specifically a capacity of a woman. And, you know, with the blacks, Jesse, I mean, I was in the military. I played chess with black men who beat me at the game. I've had very, you know, sober, intelligent, strong black guys who would they get the first guy who gave me a book of Rommel. He said, "You want to understand desert warfare?" He gave me Rommel. Right, Rommel was a German general who fought in North Africa, and it was a black guy saying, "You want to understand desert warfare? What we do?" You know, there's very capable, smart, great black people, Jesse, and okay. I know that you know that. You're one of them. But at the same time, if you say in general as a, let's say not being racist, but being a race realist, yes, there are absolutely. You go to Asia, you're going to have a different experience than if you go to the Congo, right? I mean, if you go to Europe, you're going to have stuff built by white people as opposed to, you know, here where we are kind of a more of a collective of different races. So, yeah, it's a yes. If you say, why are white people superior, Jesse? Yes, white people are superior. Obviously they are. I mean, it's not even an argument.
And do they know that they're superior? Do white people know? I don't get the impression that white people walk around thinking I'm superior. They're just doing what comes natural.
They know it, Jesse, but it doesn't matter. Who cares? Just, you know, you have to still live your life. I mean, you could be superior. I had your guest here blaming socialism for taking all the jobs out of the Rust Belt. You know, no, guys, that's capitalism. Socialism is the tariffs Trump is putting on now. That's socialism. That's bringing
what?
Back jobs to people. Yeah.
Bill, so, when you say that?
No, socialism is defined as redistributing wealth. It is not, we're not redistributing by taxing goods coming into the society. Our society was set up to have tariffs at the very beginning, but the founding fathers all hated socialism, and they made it unlawful for the government to take from one person and give to another. They made that unconstitutional, but that doesn't mean that they didn't tax materials coming into the society in order to make it a level playing field. That's not socialism.
Well, offshoring of jobs is a capitalist corporate system. It's about money. It's not about the people. Socialism is about people. Communism is about government. How you don't understand, Bill, that socialists fought the communists in World War II, and then you say the same thing. I don't understand how you don't get that. But
well, because the socialists and communists are the same thing. They're just Yeah, sure they are. Matter of fact, Hitler was a National Socialist. That's what he was, the National Socialist Party. That is one of the big miseducated statements in America, that is not just you, but across the board, to say that somehow the Nazis were not communists. They were all in bed on the same side of the spectrum of big government.
I got to take a break.
Okay.
Right back.
Thank you for calling and thanks for holding. How have you been helped by the show?
I'm going to tell you this. I believe you might go down in history as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, black man that ever lived on planet Earth. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know anybody before you that's been that great. You know, freeing the slaves is one thing, but you've been freeing people of their mind, which matters, it should be anyhow, to you more than anything else, because with the mind not being right, there ain't nothing else going to happen right anyway.
If you can doubt every thought because you're not your thoughts, if you can doubt every thought, knowing that you're not your thoughts, you don't create them, they're not from God, that they're from the deceiver, the great deceiver, Satan. If you can doubt every thought, you can be free just like that. At an instant, bring every thought into captivity. It's so amazing. Okay, welcome back. The Hake Report is coming up at 9 a.m. The Hake Report. The guy with the good hair on fire from 9 to 11. And after the Hake Report, Joel Friday TV, he black, at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And then the American Anchor Baby at 12 noon. The American Anchor Baby. You don't want to miss it, all right? Joel, I need you to come in. Joel said, Jesse, you're not being fair. Let me see. I can't. What did Joel say? I'm not being fair-minded or something? It went away. I can't see it.
You're not being fair-minded. Okay. You're not being fair-minded, Jesse.
Okay, Joel, come and explain to be fair. Joel, the one on the S42 bill on the Jesse Lee Peterson show, and he said, I'm not being fair-minded. And I just want to see what he mean by that. Joel Friday TV, he black. Joel, you know Bill?
Yeah, I know Bill.
Bill,
hey,
you
Bill.
Know Joel?
Yes, sir, I know Joel. How are you, Joel?
All is well, Bill. Thank you.
Good to see you today.
You too.
And you say I'm not being fair-minded. You mean
yes.
Meaning what?
Because in generally speaking, you're right. Like, if you look on in a general way, we see that blacks behave a certain way, whites behave a certain way. But when it comes to character, individuals don't behave that way. It's a spirit thing. It's a character flaw to want to think a certain way. So if whites aren't superior, blacks aren't superior, whites aren't inferior, blacks aren't inferior. If you think you're inferior, it's because it's a character flaw. It has nothing to do with color. So I agree with Hake when it's spirit, and I agree with Bill Lockwood when it comes to character. But I also agree with you that in general, when we're looking at it, society shows that blacks behave a certain way and society shows that whites behave a certain way. And it looks superior and inferior, but that's a false view. That's just what we see in reality, but in the spiritual way, there is no inferiority or superiority.
Do you want to respond?
You even got Bill Lockwood laughing. You're laughing with him or at him?
No, I'm with him. You know what? I believe Joel's right, though. What he's doing is exactly what we started off the program talking about, and that is it depends upon what category you're talking about. If we're talking about spirituality and worth and that kind of thing, or if you're talking about physical ability, if you're talking about being able to make a culture or a scientific advancement, it just depends on what category we're talking about as to say something is superior or not. And what standard are we using, by the way, to say something is superior and inferior? What standard are we using? How can I say something is superior if I don't know the standard by which I'm to make that assessment?
And you say, hey, would you respond to Joel too?
I don't really see where you're being unfair-minded, but I think that the standard is the standard in terms of superiority and inferiority is one like the in the mind, because you mentioned how the people see themselves as inferior and they see the whites as superior. That's why they say, "Oh, white supremacy" all the time. They're thinking, they're projecting their ideas onto the whites when the whites aren't necessarily thinking like that.
The reason why I say not fair-minded is because you're right in some of the things you say in general, but you're looking at it as a color thing. You're just saying that whites are, or blacks are inferior to whites. And that's just not true. There are blacks who don't believe that, or blacks who don't adopt that same mindset. So it's not a color thing. It's just character to me.
And you say, Anchor Baby is also an expert here, Bill. Anchor Baby, you know Bill?
Yes.
And Bill, you know Anchor Baby?
Do I know him by the name Anchor Baby?
He knows me as Nick. He does not know the Anchor Baby yet.
He's known as Nick.
Now he knows.
Oh, I know Nick. Matter of fact, I talk to Nick every time we have the show. Yeah, you bet.
Yeah. Nick, what do you say about white inferiority and inferiority?
Well, for example,
superiority.
Well, for example, in what Joel just said, it's unclear what exactly he disagrees with. It seems like you guys agree on the content of what you're saying, but when it came to how to describe it, the spirit versus the word inferior, it's unclear exactly where he sees the difference in between what you're saying and what James and Bill are saying. So I'm a little unclear on exactly what the difference is besides the word spirit and inferior. And I think that gets at the heart of what I like about what you're saying, because I don't know if I've thought about it as deeply as you have or anything, but to me it seems like you're just attempting to get to the baseline of the conversation. Can we at least say what we're seeing? And it seems like you're all agreeing on what you're seeing, right?
I agree.
And then beyond that, I think people get fearful, and I think you've totally gone to the heart of why controversy exists. It's because you get fearful of saying the obvious truth that you see, because of what you think you mean by it. Oh, you think you're saying, now people are adding to it thinking you're saying blacks will never get better, it's IQ, you're saying all these other things when you're just saying what I'm seeing.
Right. But I agree.
And I do understand what all you all are saying. I agree those things are there too. But all I'm saying, Bill and everybody, I'm not thinking of a category. I'm not thinking about spiritual. I'm not thinking about if you can overcome it or not. I'm saying what I see happening in my country, I see white people being normal, living their lives, being creative, raising their kids, doing what they do. And I started out with the blacks because the blacks are the next majority of people in my country, blacks and whites, right? And I see the blacks chasing the white people saying, I want equality, I want this, I want that, I want that. And then I see other people of color jumping on board, and they're saying they want equality and all that too. Why I don't see or hear white people saying they want equality. They just want to be, leave me alone, I'm living my life, I'm doing my thing. And I see in that there is a superiority, and then I see the inferiority of people complaining about the superior people instead of just being superior themselves in life, period, not equality or any other thing. All I ever hear day in and day out, and it doesn't matter what position they're in, how much money they have or don't have, they're still complaining about the white man or white people. It's just, And white people, and I look around, I don't hear white people saying, I'm superior. They're just living their life, but they're being blamed. They're people are jealous of them and envious and revengeful toward white people. That makes sense, Bill?
It does, you know, but I tend to agree with James Hake when he made a comment a bit ago about envy. And that is, our system has created, socialism actually is built upon envy and jealousy. So if we redistribute equally today between all of us, tomorrow it will be unequal, because you'll be wise with your money, I will be foolish with mine, and then we'll once again have this cause for envy. So the root problem is envy, and I think that's the root of it all, and the envy and jealousy in the heart. And it's a heart problem, and that's why we go to the gospel of Christ to remedy it.
I want to do this. I got to end this conversation. Joe, you want to make another point, though. You started to, you forget.
No, I mean, at the end of the day, I just think it has to do with, like the resounding issue is a character flaw. It comes from the heart, or it's a fleshly thing. But that goes to whites, that goes to blacks, it goes to Asians. It's not a color thing. I just don't see it as a color thing at all.
Would a superior person ever complain about another superior person?
No.
Would a superior person ever complain about another superior person?
Definitely not.
Bill, will a superior person ever complain about another superior person?
Absolutely, because sin gets in anybody's heart, whether you're superior or inferior. Sin is what causes people to be that way.
And Nick, would a superior person ever complain about another superior person?
No, not like that.
Amazing.
Not about superiority.
Bill, I want to take at least one.
I'm in the minority here.
Okay. Are you superior, Bill?
It depends upon what you're talking about. Superior in what way?
Period.
No, I wouldn't say I'm superior, period. To what? What is the standard? Who am I comparing myself with?
No one. Superior people don't compare themselves with anyone or anything.
Then I'm not superior, because if I'm comparing myself to myself, then there's no superiority, there's no inferiority. I just am.
Amazing. Let me go quickly to William. He want to comment on this. And then, Bill, I got to ask you about Trump, and we got to go.
Okay, that'd be great.
William out of California, thank you for calling. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse, how you doing?
All is well, William.
Yeah, I just wanted to give my opinion about the superior-inferior subject. I'll make it a little simple. I have actually never heard somebody white or somebody doing better than me financially or whatever say that they were superior over me. And I've noticed that people who measure superior and inferior, usually the so-called inferior people, you never hear them say that. Not only that, but you always hear the inferior complain about.
Yep.
And about Africa, in the early days of humans, they invented a lot of things, but lately, technically, no, they haven't.
Amazing.
And there's no countries over. There's no countries better than this country over there. And South Africa is actually a mess since they gave it back to the blacks.
Yeah, Bill, you want to comment on that?
But I've never heard anybody that's so-called superior say that ever in my life.
Well, I'll just agree with William on that one. I mean, particularly regarding South Africa, it's interesting, though, that the whites in America, such as the Bill Clintons, who are you're saying are superior, they're the ones who wanted to give it to the inferior people in South Africa. Why is that, I wonder?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Yeah.
To control them.
Mm-hmm. That could be true, too.
Amazing. Thank you, William.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Jesse, but thank you for the subject, and thank you for having Bill. I like Bill Lockwood.
He's amazing.
Thank you, William. Appreciate that.
Right on.
All right.
Thank you, William. Bill, tell the folks how to get to your website, how to support you, and all that good stuff.
Well, thank you, Jesse. Well, the website is American Liberty with Bill Lockwood. I don't put articles on there at this point, but it does have a donate button on there, AmericanLibertyWithBillLockwood.com. The podcast is Patriotic Pulpit. It's on YouTube, Spotify, Amazon Music. And then I also have Bible Studies with Bill Lockwood, which I preach out of the pulpit of the Churches of Christ, and that's also on YouTube as well.
Thank you. James, are any of our super chatters responding to this superiority thing?
Let me check. Over on...
Super Chat!
Super Chat!
Super Chat!
Aaron says, the show is on fire this morning. Heart's on fire. Sion says, ask Mr. Lockwood, cowboy emoji, has he ever encountered white people who just act and feel as if they're better than any other race, like snooty snobby?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I have. It not only toward other races, but toward me. They just act snobby. Yeah, I've encountered people like that.
Right on. Thank you, Sion. Thank you. Who was the first person?
That was Aaron, I believe.
Thank you, Aaron.
And Ronnie says, Uncle Jesse, are white people superior to black people?
Ronnie asked me that.
Mm-hmm.
They are not, but the black people think so. And it doesn't matter what kind of job they have or anything. They could be the president of the United States. Obama was the president of the United States. And they were still saying that white people were superior, and they would call the white people racist. You have to be thinking that they're superior to you if you have that kind of attitude toward them. Amazing. Thank you, Ronnie.
Anthony on Cash App. Could it be laid back laziness some cultures embrace?
Joya?
I missed that last part. Laid back what?
Could it be the laid back laziness that some cultures embrace?
Yeah. And I think that's some cultures embrace, whatever that is, whatever their culture is, not a specific individual or color.
And Sion says, Mr. Lockwood, intelligent, but he is very humble. I love everyone who loves Jesse anyway. Laughing face with tears. But right. It does exist, Jesse.
What? Superiority?
I'm not sure.
Amazing. Racism. Thank you, Sion. Amazing. I got to stop there.
Okay.
Because
we'll read the rest later.
Thank you all. I appreciate that. Bill, I got to ask. The Pope expired recently. What is the job of a Pope? Why do people need a Pope?
Well, okay, this can take us another several hours, but you know what? We don't need a Pope. And the Pope himself, this is an apostasy from the New Testament predicted in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where the man of sin, which I believe to be a reference to the Pope and Catholicism itself, is really an apostasy. So they claim that he's infallible. He's not. And so they made that claim. It was not decided until 1870. Pope Pius IX said, you know, that we're infallible and that this is retroactive. It goes all the way back. But the facts of history are so clear. The first pope was crowned in 606. It was Boniface number 3. That was the first universal pope. And it was just a power grab through the years. And so that's all that it is. The Catholic Church actually is a secular government. It has over 200 acres or so. It's a secular government wedded with a religious government. And so secularism wedded with religion, and that's all that it is. So it is, it's just a, it was a power grab through the years, and no, we don't need the Pope. As a matter of fact, we can read the Bible for ourselves and understand it for ourselves, as they did in the early centuries before there was such a thing as the Roman Catholic Church.
Amazing. And this is Donald Trump, the Great White Hope, 100 days in office, I believe. How would you rate it?
You know what? I think it's A+. This guy is on fire. You know what? I don't know that everything. I've read some things that say that some of his executive orders have overstepped boundaries for what the chief executive officer should be able to do, and that may be true. I haven't examined every one of them, but I will say this. He's done, number one, on the border. That is exactly what needed to have been done on the border. On the economy, this tariff thing is exactly what we need.
Yeah.
We had a decided and and purposeful decline in America from the times of the 1960s on, where we have declined the economy of America through NAFTA and GATT and other different World Trade Organization agreements, the WTO, and Trump is turning back the hands on that. I think that is so fabulous. Men and women's sports, he's come out on that. He's, you know, the Gulf of America, everything he does is just really, really great. It's just really wonderful. I think it's just an A+.
I couldn't agree with you more. You're absolutely right. Bill, last word before you go.
Well, listen, I enjoy being on here with you so much, Jesse. You know, you're such a great host. And James and those other, and what was Joel,
and
Nick,
Angel,
all those
baby.
Guys. And Anchor Baby. this is great. I love the show today. I think this is really great. Just y'all are doing such a fabulous job. I enjoy having this discussion.
Yeah.
So I hope we do it again like this sometime.
I do too. It was amazing.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
All right. Y'all want to say bye to Bill?
Bye.
See you, Bill.
All right. We'll see you guys. Take care.
And cheers.
And your website one more time?
The website is American Liberty with Bill Lockwood.com.
Right on. Thank you, Bill.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jesse.
All right.
Have a great day. All right.
You too. Amazing. 888-775-3773. Because we're so close to the end of this hour, let's do some super chats. And when I come back from this break, bro, we're going to take calls. We're going through all these calls, all right? Super chat.
Eric bought 3 coffees on buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Hake, you made a great point about women yesterday, when referring to Bill Belichick's sugar baby. Women are always conflicted. They're always double-minded. They want attention, but then they hate the attention because the reality is different from what they imagined. Hake.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric.
Yeah.
Simond gave a Cash App. No message. Thank you.
Thank you, Simmons.
That's Bond JLP on Cash App.
Thank you.
Where SoCalis said, a football coach for a baseball team, LOL.
Amazing.
Simsation bought a coffee. We had Tony and Brian call in on the same day. Oh, Lord.
Amazing.
It would have been great to have Jason from Buffalo as well. What a great show.
Thank you. I mean, let me ask a quick yes or no for all three of you guys.
All right.
Was that woman wrong in saying we're not talking about that?
Yes.
She was wrong. Yeah. Was she wrong in saying we're not talking about
that? I'm not sure, honestly. I don't know.
Was she wrong in saying we're not talking about that?
I'm not sure, Really? Actually.
I thought about that, and I saw it again on Fox News.
Like, that was a different question than what we talked about last time.
Right, yeah.
And this is if she's wrong for that, I'm not
Remember
sure.
Remember, she said, how did y'all meet? And she said, we're not talking about that. I thought she was perfectly right in that. Mm. She doesn't owe anybody any explanation how they met. That's between she and Bill.
Yeah.
What's her name, Bill?
Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick.
Wow. Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I was thinking
that
more.
That makes sure we get the right bill.
I know. Too many bills.
What?
No, you're good.
They don't owe an explanation, but she piped up out of turn.
But still, she didn't want to talk about her private business.
But she can't. It's not her to say to tell Bill not to say anything.
It's her boyfriend.
She should have said that beforehand.
But if Bill wanted to talk about it, he would say, no, we're going to talk about this anyway, honey. Be quiet. Am I right?
She shouldn't even have been in the room.
Say that last part again.
Let's say Bill wanted to talk about it anyway.
Yeah.
You just say, okay, we're going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about
right,
it.
Right, right.
And if she walked out of the room, let her walk out of the room.
Yeah.
And if I like the fact when people talk about what they want. You know,
I'm for that. Yeah. I'm for saying or not saying whatever you want to say or not say. Definitely.
That's the way it used to be. But anyway, super chat.
And he bought biblical question answer.
Can you make a conscious decision?
No, my steps have always been ordered by the Lord, his will, not my way. What can any man say?
Thank you. I put my 2 cents in on Sunday. Amazing.
Anthony says, good morning, JLP. It's Wednesday. Beautiful day. Northeast PA.
Thank you. Thank you for your support.
And what one has created, one can uncreate. We created China, he says.
That's right.
And
just
we better read
the Great White Hope.
We better read the rest later, guys.
Let me take a break. One more hour to go. Thank you all for the super chats and everything. When I come back, what? When I come back, the hate news is coming right now. When I come back, straight to the phones. Back in a moment.
I've been clinically depressed since I was 17 years old. And ever since I started listening to you a couple of months ago, bro, I don't even need to hear the word depression. I don't even care about that because that's not anything that I identify with anymore.
Nice.
I'm 100% cured. I'm 100% better because I've been listening to the Jesse Lee Peterson show, and I can't even begin to tell you how much I appreciate you. And I just can't even, you know, begin to tell you how much I really appreciate the things that you're doing for young men. Young men need to hear this. And young men need to know this message that you're delivering because it's important. It's vital to their lives, Jesse. I just wanted to let you know that, man.
That's amazing. I mean, you made my day, man. When I hear one soul has returned to the Father, it's like a thousand. It's better than silver and gold. So God bless you, man.
Some serious mess going on in the world. And Commie Nonsense is trying to push mess in the world. And I'm here to bring it to you. This is Hake News, not fake news. It's the end of hour two of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show with Bill Lockwood. Thank you, Bill Lockwood. American Liberty with BillLockwood.com. He was on here for the first 2 hours. We did have a late start, about 20 minutes late. Thank you guys for bearing with us. We will get to your calls, JLP. We'll get to your calls. Appreciate you hanging tight in there, callers. After the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, the Hake Report, Manhood Hour is coming right up, guys, for the third hour of JLP. And then the HakeReport.com, and then Joelle Friday TV, and then American Anchor, baby. So be there or be Red Square. Commie Nonsense Network, CNN reports, 24 so-called states, and Washington, D.C., the swamp itself, filed a degenerate lawsuit against our greatest president, Donald J. Trump's administration yesterday for cutting AmeriCorps, or AmeriCorps workforce, and terminating nearly $400 million in grant funding for state and community projects. According to that lawsuit, 85% of AmeriCorps' staff, A-M-E-R-I, capital C-O-R-P-S, with an apostrophe at the end. You do the math. I don't know. Their staff were placed on administrative leave, about 85% of them, earlier this month as part of the DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency's cost-cutting efforts. The multi-state coalition claims that those cuts, are gutting the agency to the point where it cannot function. It definitely shouldn't function the way it's been functioning. It's evil, I'm guessing. The administration is free to ask Congress to abolish AmeriCorps, but it cannot simply terminate the agency's functions by fiat or defund the agency on defiance of administrative procedures, so they claim. Congressional appropriations and the constitutional separation of powers, so claims the evil lawsuit. And Customs and Border Protection, there have been firings there as well, and some of them probably righteous. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting, not Customs and Border Protection, never mind. Fake news. Corporation for Public Broadcasting filed a lawsuit, too, against the Trump administration after three board members were told via email Monday they'd been terminated on behalf of President Donald J. Trump. Two board members, Thomas E. Rothman and Diane Kaplan, probably not Christians, were appointed by Crooked Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe, in 2022. The third board member, Laura G. Ross, originally appointed by Trump in 2018 and reappointed by Biden. The CPB, not to be confused with CBP, as Hake just recently got confused right now, is arguing that under the law created in the corporation in 1967, Trump does not have the authority to fire them, so they claim, and they're seeking a ruling to confirm the termination emails have no legal effect. Each year, the CPB disperses $535 million in so-called taxpayer funds for public radio, which is off the deep end liberal anti-American, and so-called TV stations like Communist Sesame Street, degenerate, effeminate, lame-o, childish, and nationwide, including stations such as PBS and NPR, off the deep end liberal, commie. Anyway,
Congress has reauthorized funding for the corporation for decades. Degenerate, lame-o Congress. No wonder nobody likes Congress. Anyway, auto tariffs. Trump signed an executive order and proclamation Tuesday to ease some of those auto tariffs. Some of you guys trying to buy cars, those car places. Trump's 25% tariff on imported cars will continue. 25% tariff on auto parts will go into effect this weekend. But his latest order will allow a maximum reimbursement of 3.75% of the value of domestically produced cars for U.S. automakers who are importing their car parts. So isn't that nice? We're working with you. Trump is working with you, U.S. automakers. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP, Manhood Hour.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the third hour of the show. Sorry about that. You can get involved by calling 888-773-5773. 888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question, can you make a conscious decision? Can you make a conscious decision? Isn't that an amazing question? Amazing, Jesse. We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. jesseleepeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about, you can podcast the show. But if you're an illegal alien from El Salvador, you're climbing a tree, running away from ICE or the FBI people, or you on your phone while up in the tree trying to run, or you're taking your kids to a public school because you hate them and you don't want to stay home and raise them, you have no love for your children, your ego want to be in the public, or you just got to do what you got to do. You can be listening to the show on your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line on Talk Stream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk. buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. All right. That conversation in the first 2 hours was amazing. And I think Nick got it right away. It wasn't about any all the other stuff, even though I understand what they were saying is true. But I just want to talk about being inferior and reacting to superior people and just that. And I hear it all the time. I see it all the time. And it is inferiority. It really is. But that's for another day now. It was an amazing conversation. Thank you, Bill Lockwood and Hake, Joel Friday, and the American Anchor Baby. Yeah, it wasn't about color or anything. I wasn't talking about color or anything. Just superiority versus inferiority. But not about color and stuff like that. But anyway, it is Wednesday, the anchor baby got it right away. He understood how the mind tried to make you read the other stuff in there. The mind, am I right, anchor baby?
Totally.
Yeah. The mind makes you hear and say something else. That's not what I was saying. Amazing. It's Wednesday. It's the third hour. And every Wednesday, third hour, is Manhood Hour. What is a man? What is a man? Man.
It's an adult man. Human male.
Manhood. Hillary or President Trump?
I voted for Hillary Clinton.
Beta. Beta male. A man is a male who turned to man. Male right, be right, and lead the way.
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
But the moment may be getting the most attention on social media, the presence of 73-year-old Belichick's 24-year-old girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, and her control over the questions Tuchel asked.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
I don't know, man. It's not the Belichick I recognize.
What happened to my father?
What happened to my father? It's funny. It's interesting. So interesting. And that's another story for another day, that you could be a major football coach or whatever. He's a coach, right? Belichick?
Yes, correct.
Football coach. You can win games. You can do that. You could be in the military fighting in Iraq against Allahu Akbar people. You could be the head of the military. You could be the president of the United States of America. You have all the power, earthly power that you want, and you still could be controlled by your woman. You still could be controlled by the woman. Think about that. And for some reason, people think that if you have earthly power, that means that you have real power. You don't. Earthly power is fake power. It's not real. It's an illusion. But that's for another day. I want to go to the calls. Juan out of Florida, I asked him to call back today because we didn't finish this conversation yesterday, and it was unfair to him to rush through it. He called back. He'd been waiting for a long time. Juan, you're a man of God. Thank you for holding.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. I really appreciate you holding on that long, and thanks for calling back. So yesterday we were talking about the difficulty that you were having with your mother and others. You have not gotten forgiven and taken from there.
Yes. Okay. I told you about my brother, my father, my mother, and my grandmother, and I was having trouble talking about it yesterday, and it's starting to come back again, that feeling, just that nervousness. It's just the devil telling me, like, oh, man, I'm going to not get us across right, but I'm trying to be that spirit right now. I saw that caption y'all put on my video clip, and it said, forgiveness for mother and brother, stutter, brother, father. I was like, oh, man. It's like, beta.
Have you gone and forgiven your mother?
I haven't.
And why
and
not?
The reason why is because my brother was diagnosed autistic. I told you that yesterday.
Yeah.
And growing up, she would tell me that it was okay that he hit me and cuss at me as a kid.
Really?
Yes.
And when you would tell your father about that, would he help you deal with that with her?
He was already dead.
Oh, he had died early.
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's amazing, man.
I know. I know. It's crazy. My mom, she would look at me after my brother was cussing at me and hitting at me. I looked at her and I said, Mom. And she would just say, it's okay, Juan.
How did you feel about that?
Instant, like, resentment, like, disrespect.
Yeah.
I was just like, bro, yes. It's like, are you serious? And my brother would just be ecstatic that he could get away with it.
Well, you gotta, that was wrong. That is evil.
Thank you.
But you gotta forgive her so you can overcome her. Because what happened is that created anger for you toward her. And then once you became angry, you were separated from your true nature, from your real self. And now you have fear and all that. But if you realize, yes, that was wrong, but I am wrong as an adult, I'm wrong for resenting her for it. She couldn't help herself. God will forgive you, and he will give you, I promise you this, it's so amazing. You will eventually start to remember your true self, and you'll have an amazing life.
Yes, sir. I was planning on going back home to Virginia. I'm all the way in Florida. I was going to drive 8 hours just to tell her, to her face, these things we're talking about. It is wrong of me to resent her now as an adult.
Yes.
Yes.
But it's only wrong because it separates you from life. It separates you from God. Everyone. Who has anger are children of evil. They are one with evil. It doesn't matter whom they are, what religion they are. As long as they have anger, they are separated from God. They are unhappy.
Yeah.
Can you FaceTime with her?
She's not technologically savvy. She can't do those things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, can you phone call her?
I can.
Won't you do that?
I do love my mother. The problem is I love her more than myself.
But you don't love her, you hate her. If you loved her, you would be able to forgive her. That emotion you feel for your mother is hatred. It's not love. It feels like love, but it's hate. It is disguising itself as love, but it's hatred.
I see what you're saying. I had to be... Frank, I mean, like, in terms of, like, my life struggle, I could have been given a more abusive mother. I don't know. Maybe it's a bit.
No, you shouldn't go into that. Abuse is abuse is abuse. It doesn't matter more or less. It destroyed your spirit.
I mean, like, she don't know what the heck I'm talking about.
Right.
Like, yeah, just that blank look, like, oh, my goodness. It's like, am I ever going to get through to you?
You know, don't try to get through to her because angry people, evil people, don't want to see the truth. They don't want you to get through to them. They love their misery, and they love making other people miserable. And so don't try to get through to her. It doesn't matter if she admit it, if she sees it or not. You see that you are angry toward her, and you need to forgive so that you can be free. It has nothing to do with her. Leave your mother right in her misery. Leave her in her hell. But you want life. So it's for you, not for her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you loved her, you would not fear her. You have fear of faith in her.
I do.
So that's because you hate her. In love, real love, there is no fear. So you got to face her, man.
Yes, sir. I do.
Are you doing the silent prayer?
I'm attempting, yeah. I'm trying to do the silent prayer like you prescribe.
Yeah, do that.
Yes, because I've gone on full-blown conversations with Jesus about my life, and it's just me overthinking stuff. So I'm just like, okay, let me try the silent prayer, where it's more of a meditation than maybe a verbal thing.
Yes. You want to be quiet and let the truth take you over, and the truth will change your world. It will change your life.
Amen.
And now, if words come, you feel like you need to say something out to God, you could say it, but you want to learn to be still. Heaven and earth were created in stillness. You were created in stillness. And the real you, not this fake you that's having all these problems, that's not the real you. The real you already have perfect peace. The real you have no fear. The real you have never done anything wrong. The real you cannot do wrong. The real you is free. You just think that this fake you is you, and that's what you got to overcome. You got to die from that, meaning you got to let go of all your false identities. You're not your thoughts. You're not your feelings. You're not your body. You're not your up and down. You're not your the anxiety, the worry, the doubts, the suicidal thoughts, the shyness, the fear. None of those things are you. It's all an illusion.
It's hard to get past that.
I know. And the reason I would tell another friend, I'm like, the hardest thing in the world to get past is that you're really living an illusion. How do you live an illusion? How do you not know you're living an illusion? You're so identified with it. And that's why people can't be free right now, because they're so identified with this illusion that they're in. They're calling it reality. They think that they're their thoughts and their feelings and their emotions. They're up and down. And they think that they have to wait until they die to overcome that. There's only one death, and that is the death from the illusion.
Yes. Okay. Well, spiritually speaking.
But physically speaking, too, there's only one death. When you drop your body, you're not dying. You're just leaving that body behind. It's like taking off a spacesuit. When you get out of the rocket ship and you take off the spacesuit, you just took off the suit, but you still exist.
Yes, sir. I wanted to talk about my brother and my grandmother a little more.
All right.
It was my grandmother who was teaching my brother to cuss at me. So that's where he learned it.
That's amazing.
Yes. She taught him to be incorrigible. And she didn't hold herself accountable for his actions, even though she was a guardian at times. Legally speaking, she was a guardian when a judge ordered my brother to be separated from my mother, because my brother put hands on my mother, and the judge said that they can't be around each other for 2 years.
So your brother became like his mother. She was encouraging him to hit you, and you're not hit. Well, she was encouraging you not to fight back. And so he turned on her and did the same thing. So,
yes.
Amazing.
Yes. Yes. And I'm here just like, guys, he's tearing up the house. I watched him break a chair and hit my stepdad in the head with one of the legs. And I said that to him. I was like, he broke a chair and hit him in the head. And she just stood there and looked at us like nothing was wrong.
And what did your stepfather do about it?
He just took it. He tried to stand up. I remember her plainly when I was 13. She said, "If you don't like it, you can leave." Yep.
He should have left.
He should have.
Yeah.
That's his problem.
And so, did you, you got to forgive your grandmother then as well, man. That was evil.
Yeah. Yeah, I do have to forgive her. On top of doing that, with my brother teaching her to be incorrigible, she's trying to, imply to me that my father was better off ending his life. Like, she was his angel of death.
Who told you that? Your grandmother or your mother?
All of them.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. I went to my grandmother to fill this empty void or whatever. Like, an absent father leaves a void. So I went to my grandmother with my brother, and we're sitting there in her lanai, and I'm trying to figure out what happened. Okay. And she said, "Oh, I remember that night. It was like all his demons were gone." It was just like talking to the devil himself. I'm just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yes, it was just a huge black void. It was probably one of the most soulless moments I had in my life. Just like listening to her talking about my dad being better off. That's now amazing, that he's gone. Man. I swear. Yes, it is amazing. And I saw my father's surviving brother at my grandmother's wake. And I told him I passed up the last opportunity I had to see her, my mother, and my brother together, because my grandmother called me to go over there. I told my uncle, hey, I'm passing up on I passed up the last opportunity to see her alive. And his words were, I don't blame you.
You passed up the opportunity to see your grandmother alive or your father?
I passed up the last opportunity to see my grandmother that she extended to me. She invited me over to see her, my mother, who she hates, and my brother, who cusses at me. She invited me over. I said, oh, I'm good.
Right
she
on.
Died. Yeah, I said, I told her, oh, I'm busy. She said, what, work? Like, that's like the go-to for people that aren't interested in you. It's like, oh, you got work.
Yeah.
Yes. She's just like that. I was just like, no, I have a life.
That's amazing.
Those are my words. I said, yes, I said, I have a life. And she said, oh.
How old are you now?
33.
Okay. Though she's dead, realize she was evil, she couldn't help herself, so you can forgive her, right?
She was out of her mind, and I do forgive her because...
Yeah. And your father, if I remember correct, your father took his own life, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. He's committed suicide. So, have you forgiven your brother?
Yeah. I forgive him because he's just a nobody. I'm sorry to say that, but he committed himself to being a nobody. If he wants to be a nobody, that's fine.
Yeah.
He wants to cuss at me, whatever, fine.
You don't have to be around him, but don't hate him. Don't be angry at him either. One thing that we do not, as human beings, we do not have the right, we do not have the permission to be angry at anyone for any reason. If we want to be free, we cannot hold anything against anyone. That doesn't mean we got to hang out with them, but we must not hold any grudges. Don't be angry. Don't keep yourself in prison by holding on to anger. So you forgive him. It was wrong. It wasn't right. It was wrong that your parents, your mother didn't protect you from it, your grandmother. But don't hold on to the anger so you can be free. And again, you don't have to be around them. You don't owe them anything. But for your own freedom, you must forgive.
Yes.
Because of time now, how were you personally affected by all this, if you can say?
I would say this made me realize that loving people who don't love each other or themselves is your own funeral. And I couldn't help it. I told myself as a child because it was natural for me to love my family, but they were already divided. And there's nothing I could do about it.
Yeah.
And I pretty much took their crap and I have to let it go.
Yeah, you got to let it go. Absolutely. Are you able to, when you're out and about, before you understood that you need to forgive and start doing a silent prayer and be present, were you able to have somewhat of a normal life out there? In the world, before you called me, were you, or before you heard the message of forgiveness, were you able to have somewhat of a normal life? Has life been difficult for you?
I made it better for myself only after leaving the house without telling them and having them put out a missing persons report, just so I could have that distance.
Nice.
Yes, they put out a missing persons report, and I ignored their calls, but then I got a call from an unknown number, and it was the sheriff talking with my family in person. I said, I appreciate what you're doing, but I left because I wanted to leave, and I'm old enough to leave if I want to.
Yeah.
And yes, and they said, well, it's so abrupt, all this stuff. And I'm like, well, thinking to myself, I was like, well, I'm going to tell my mother where I'm going just so she can coddle me and make me completely impotent.
Yes, absolutely, man.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
oh, yeah.
Why are you going to be fine now? Forgive them, whether you see them or not. Just realize that was evil. Her mother, your mother's mother screwed her up. Your mother, grandmother, your grandmother's mother did it to her. And it just goes on from generation to generation, all people, all races. And so forgive mm-hmm. them so you can have perfect peace.
Yeah. Well, see, yeah, my mother's mother was sweet, okay? Like you say, it's like it doesn't matter how sweet they are, right. They're evil.
Yes.
But they pretty much told me my mother's side, my grandpa beat the crap out of my grandma. And they tried to keep that a secret. Yeah, I swear, that was just their thing. And his in-laws, my other grandma, said, oh, he's the Russian bear. We called him the Russian bear.
Amazing. Well, I gotta go, but here's what I recommend. You let that anger go. Forgive them, right? And if you want to go back and see your mother, I recommend, if it's safe, that you go and face her. If not, you can do it by phone or just let it go. And do the silent prayer and start just being present so you can live the life that you were created to live.
Yes, sir.
Let me know how it goes.
Okay. I wish I could go on about all these silly stories with my goofy brother, but because of time.
Yeah, call me again. We'll pick up on it. Call me again.
I will. Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah.
You're
the best, Jesse.
How old is your brother now?
He's 34.
Oh, okay.
He's a year older than me. Yeah, he's like a year and a few months older.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, forgive him and then call me again. We'll talk some more, right?
Yes, sir.
I wish you well, Juan.
Thank you.
All right, buddy.
All right, later.
Bye. Amazing. 888-7753-773. Let me go back to Florida and talk to Rock, a first-time caller out of Florida. Rock, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse. How you doing, man?
All is well, Rock.
Hey, I've heard you talk about men walking away from, like, women who they can't, like, deal with.
Yes.
When it comes to, like, having children out of wedlock and stuff like that, that's kind of my situation. Had a kid out of wedlock. Me and the girl hasn't worked out. We try to work it out, you know, for family's sake. I'm a Christian man, but it hasn't really worked out, and it's kind of hard to walk away because those thoughts that we be talking about or that you talk about,
mm-hmm.
they, like, cloud my head about, like, her, my son, like, what's going to be like with, you know, him being around other men or whatever she's going to be doing, whatever.
Right.
And it's just like, how do you walk away, or should I walk away, or should I just let it go, or I don't know what to do, honestly.
When you say, should I just let it go, what do you mean, should I let it go?
As far as, like, thinking about how the broken family is going to function throughout his life.
What good is it doing you to think about that?
It's not doing me any good, just a lot of stress.
So why think about it then?
That's right.
No, that was a question.
Oh. I don't know. You know how it is. The mind plays tricks on you, so.
And so why do you continue to listen to a tricky mind? Because it is your enemy. It's not your friend. Why do you still take advice from your enemy?
Maybe I love my hell.
You do?
Yeah.
What a mess.
What a mess.
That's why you won't walk away, because you love your misery.
I try the silent prayer. Like, I've listened to your show for about 10 months now, and it helped me a lot. I've noticed that I'll have, like, moments where I sit down watch the thoughts and be like, oh yeah, those thoughts are evil, or those are lustful, or those are this, those are that. Like, you know what I'm saying? I pick up on that.
Well, you
haven't forgiven my parents yet, though.
Why not?
I haven't done that yet.
Why not?
I'm in construction. I'm working. I'm about 5 hours away from home, but I could go and go visit.
Podcast? Not podcast. What do you call it? FaceTime?
A phone. Oh yeah, I can FaceTime, but I would rather do it face to face. Honestly, if I ain't gonna lie to you.
How old are you?
I'm 31.
Hold on a minute. Can you hold?
I can hold.
All right, hold on. 888-775-3773. Quick break. Back in a moment. Oh, the treasure chest is now open on Delos. Amazing. We have a counseling service. Check out Punchy's Coffee. I have my own coffee now. Punchy Coffee is good. Every bag is roasted to order. Freshest flavor. Top quality. Specialty grade beans. Good. Every dime goes back to Bar, my nonprofit. And we are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. So when you're drinking coffee and enjoying it, just know you're helping somebody. Amazing coffee. Punchy has his own coffee now. What the? And it's so good. All the way from the plantation to my own coffee. Who would have thought? Did that coffee come from the plantation? Did I pick my own coffee? Check it out. Go to rebuildingtheman.com, rebuildingtheman.com/stores, and get Punchy's coffee. Amazing. Quick announcement. Number one, don't forget the Hake Report is coming up at the top of this hour. TheHakeReport.com from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time, all right? And James Hake is on fire. He's ready. He was involved in the first 2 hours of the show. He's on fire. So get ready. At 9 a.m., from 9 to 11. And after the Hake Report, oh, Lord. Why Joel, Lord? Joel Friday at 11. He's on fire already from the first 2 hours. Joel Friday TV at 11 a.m. And then just going to burn it all out. The American Anchor, baby. Energy everywhere, although Trump energy. The American Anchor Baby at 12 noon. You don't want to miss that. And if you missed the first 2 hours of the show, we got started late. But if you missed the first 2 hours of the show, you can podcast. It was amazing. We had Bill Lockwood on. And Bill Lockwood is America's friend. Bun, my friend, everybody, just America's friend. And that's one of the smartest white men on this side of heaven. You know what? Podcast if you missed the first hour, right? Bill Lockwood. And don't forget to check out our merch, Punchy's Coffee, and all of that to help us, to help others. Go to JesseLeePeterson.com/shop. JesseLeePeterson.shop, not JesseLeePeterson.com. JesseLeePeterson.shop or RebuildingTheMan.com/stores. All right? One of those. And last but not least, brand new episode of The Fallen State on Friday. Brand new episode. I had an amazing conversation with the CEO of two companies, a homeschooling advocate, traditional Christian educator, and a father of 10. Watch this.
Next time on The Fallen State.
White people are going to become the minority in America, and that's the last thing we need to happen. It's over for America if that should happen.
America certainly can't continue as America unless you have your founding stock that stays here. If the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants go away, then what you had to begin with fundamentally disappears.
Absolutely.
We want to be altruistic. It's kind of in our nature, and yet we'll do so at the expense of ourselves.
Amazing. It was deep. I was a little surprised how honest he was. And it was refreshing. At 11 a.m. on Friday, thefallenstate.tv, and you can become a member of the Fallen State there too, thefallenstate.tv on YouTube there, or locals.com. And then on Thursday, tomorrow night, man, the men's forum, every first Thursday night of the month. I want to go quickly back to Rock, a first-time caller out of Florida. And Rock has an out-of-wedlock child, and he and the girl is not getting along, and he can't walk away. Am I right, Rock?
Yeah, kind of.
And it's not that you can't walk away. You won't walk away or haven't walked away. And you said that you are not doing the silent prayer, or you are doing it?
I have been doing the silent prayer.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, you stay with that.
Okay, I got you.
And as far as staying with her, I don't understand why you think you should.
I guess just for, because I grew up with two parents. I'm just thinking, like, the best start for children is two-parent household, I'm thinking. So I guess that's why I'm trying to, like, hold on.
But it's not a two-parent home, right? You're not married to her. Are you living with her?
No, we don't live together.
So it's not a two-parent home?
No.
And so now why are you staying?
I guess no reason, but, I mean, eventually I would have liked to have, like, you know, married her and all that.
But that's not reality.
Not reality. No, it's not.
Yeah.
See, there goes my thoughts again.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Do you... Are you seeing clearly? Well, I already know the answer to this question, but I'll ask it anyway. Are you seeing clearly that all thoughts and emotions are all lies all the time?
I am. I really am.
Oh, good. So why are you even obeying them, concerning this woman, at period? Why are you listening to thoughts?
I got to keep practicing.
Yeah.
Just keep on doing a silent prayer, making sure I just listen to the thoughts, decipher them, and then just do nothing about it.
Yes, absolutely.
And so I just got to keep working on that.
I want to encourage you to, I want you to give this a try just to see what happens.
Okay.
Doubt the thought. When the thought don't be double-minded, be single-minded. And when, let's say you know you need to move on, why don't you just move on and see what happens? And even though the thought's going to tell you, oh, how about the baby's not going to have two parents, or the baby this or that. Why don't you just doubt the thought and see what happens? About anything, you know. Let's say you want to get a new job. And you're like, I'm going to get a new job. Even though you have a job, you're doing a job. And the thought said, well, if you get a new job, you're going to this, you're going to lose this, you're going to lose that. Why not, at some point, just don't listen to that and do what's in front of you to do? Why don't you give that a try and see what happens?
I can try that.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you, Jesse. I've been listening to you for a while, man. You helped me a lot.
Well, you stay with it and stay with it and stay with staying present. Practice being present and not listening to anything that the imagination tell you. Rock, you have not seen anything yet. Because I don't know this woman at all, but if you're not getting along with her, she's going to screw your child up, period, anyway. Where you stay or go.
Okay.
So work on yourself. Forget about the world. Because you need to work on your own world inside of you and let life happen for you. And it's going to be amazing. It's just going to get better for you.
All right. I appreciate that, Jesse.
Any other question?
No, not really. That was about it, man.
And so do you see now what to do concerning this woman and your child?
I can see clearly now.
Okay. Well, you stay with that. See, and then do. If you don't see, continue what you're doing until you see what to do, all right?
All right. Thank you, man. I appreciate you.
I wish you well, man. Call me again.
All right. I will.
All right.
All right.
Bye now. 888-7753-773. There's a line open. Let's go to Brandon out of Canada. Brandon, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir.
So I wanted to ask a couple
ask.
Things. Yeah. I kind of grew up in the similar way I think that you've mentioned during like the Bond sermons, like always wanting God, seeing that there's issues in society, seeing that there's people live kind of like a norm, but it's fake. And that led me to, I guess, Christ when I was 17. I'm 31 now. But weirdly, over that time period, like from 17 till now, I've had like multiple kind of different experiences in different, I guess you'd say, denominations of Christianity. And I keep coming back to, I found like what you talked about a couple years ago, and I listened to like a bunch of Bond sermons, but I ended up stopping the silent prayer and got myself into a whole list of mess with business and stuff with a friend and his family. And it ended up being like the whole mothering, evil mothering spirit, all that stuff, like kind of coming back around again. Anyways, I called you about that last August and you helped me. And I went back to the silent prayer, got out of that situation, and stupidly stopped doing the silent prayer, stopped listening.
So you did the silent prayer and you got out of that situation, right?
Twice, yeah.
And then, you stopped doing the silent prayer. What a mess.
I know. It's total crazy. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I've listened to, I don't know all, but a lot of the Bond sermons, and it helps a lot because everybody who is in the congregation and even your own questions as well, it really helps point the way and make things clear. And I have forgiven my parents and I remind myself not to judge them and stuff. But weirdly enough, this sucks, and I hate to even say it, but I ended up back at my parents in January, and it was thoughts. There was like my parents were learning about Christ, and they wanted to learn about the Bible, and they wanted some help at the house, and I wanted to try and get on my feet, but it quickly turned hellish, and I fell into like lust, and then I fell into like using cannabis again, and honestly, it's been a mess. It's been a mess. And I started listening to your sermons all the time. And it's helped because I realized I was living a ton in the future and a ton in the past. So coming back to the present has helped. But and even like in just being able to let go of things like clothing items or old notes, things, just stupid things, it's helped because I'm not so unconscious. And even putting aside like weed and stuff, I'll find myself doing it, and I realize I'm doing it, and I'm sorry, just put it aside.
Speak up a little bit more.
Sure, sorry. Okay. I mumble. My dad tells me I mumble.
Stop mumbling. What the?
Yeah, no, what? It's crazy. Well, you know, you said recently that any man who has doubt and fear and anger and all these different things is a woman or has that spirit.
Right. They have the spirit of the mother.
Right, and I see that in myself. And I'm doing the silent prayer. I started again. I started like 4 days ago. I'm not out of the woods, but I wanted to go back up to a different city that I'd been to before, but I realized when I kind of sat in the silent prayer that I was actually just going right back into the hell that I'd been in before.
Yeah.
Same situation, but like same type of evil spirit and all that, but so then I thought, oh, you know, it'd be probably the best thing for me to do is just go to LA, move to LA and come to the bond meetings and stuff, because it seems like it could help. And
what?
But I started looking at that, and that's you have to have a whole litany of things, you know. To
how
be able
old
to come.
Are you?
Too old for this, Jesse, but 31.
Amazing. And so your question for me is what?
How the hell do I escape this hell that I've put myself in? Not physically.
Precious being present. You got to stay with the light. You got to stay with the truth. And when you're present, you're always one with truth. Instead of in your head being one with a lie. All thoughts are all lies all the time about anything. Precious being present. And the light will guide you out of the situation. Doubt every thought. Be aware of those thoughts. Don't deny them. Don't fight with them. Do not call them you, the thoughts and emotions. And I promise you, if you stay with it, you're going to be fine. All these things will pass away, and you will be free. But you got to stay with the light. And the issue is not about getting out of your physical situation. It is about overcoming your mental situation, your mind and emotion, overcoming the lie, overcoming the ego. That's where the real problem is. You got to drop the ego by denying it. Don't call the emotions you. Don't call the thoughts you, no matter what they are. Never call them you again so they can be taken away from you. You can stop identifying with them.
I agree with all that, and I have been beginning to practice that. Nowhere near out of the woods, but I've started to practice.
Yeah.
And I see the example in the boys that you've got on the panel and church and everything. I see it all, and so I'm starting.
But you got to stay with it, though.
I find it hard from morning. It's a little the demons are vicious. Like, I'll go to sleep with the silent prayer, and I'm conscious, basically. I fall asleep, I sleep sound. My dreams, there's all kinds of things happen in my dreams, and I know it's because my mind is overactive.
Yeah.
The moment I wake up, I wake up, I'm already, like, there's like a hellscape moving already.
Yes.
And so I'm trying to detach. But just like you said before, like, it's a natural good thing to be entrepreneurial, to want to create. All that stuff, I don't want to be ambitious, like you spoke about. I don't want to be fighting to be somebody. But I do want to create. I just want to create. We're in the world. I want to do those things. But I do find that this whole ego thing, everything, it's crushing. It's crushed my life in every way. The reason I mentioned the Christianity upbringing is because every single denomination that I went through, nothing could really help me. I'd tell them my sins. They'd say, hey, confess your sins. I confess my sins.
Come back close to your phone.
Sorry. I confess my sins, but then they would just judge me or kick me out or something.
Yeah.
And and I never wanted those things that were causing me harm. I just didn't know how to get rid of them. And they said to confess. They said to. So I feel like at this point
they lied and they didn't know what they were talking about. They're lost.
I see that now.
Yeah.
But it sucks that I wasted so many years. But
no, but you haven't wasted any years. God is not into time. God, the true, is not into age. Really. So don't even give that a thought. Don't let the thought tell you you're 30-something now. You're wasting a lot of time. It's not true. Whatever the thoughts are telling you are lies. They're never going to tell you the truth. All you need to do is live in the present. And let's say you want to start a business. You want to be an entrepreneur. Find something that you like. Don't worry about the outcome and start doing it. Practice being present, but in the physical way, start working on whatever you want to work on, and you'll see it'll work by itself. You'll be fine. The truth will take care of you.
It's almost like the false part of me wants to reject that, but there's a part of me there's like a settled part of me. I don't know how to explain it, but the calm part of me realizes that what you're saying is true, and I've started to experience it little bits.
Right.
Like there's moments. where I feel completely present and I feel fine.
A little light would take you a thousand miles. Be grateful for that little light, and you practice staying with that little light, you're going to get more and more and more. Don't worry. It is working.
Right.
And when you wake up in the morning and the thoughts are already busy telling you about this and that and reminding you of the past and the future, just notice it. Don't fight it. Don't argue with it. Don't try to get rid of it. Live with it and let the light destroy it. The light will take care of it. It's trying to save you from that. You are not your thought, all right?
I agree with you. Thank you. Just one little last thing. Earlier when Nick had mentioned his point about how the thoughts add on, to the idea.
Yes.
I found that helpful because I can see how even just a small thing like, hey, go clean your room, the thoughts will add like 10 more things onto that.
Absolutely.
So I've tried to just stop letting things add on and just go back to the one. Thank you, Jesse. I'll call you again, man. I appreciate everything.
You're welcome. I thought it was a powerful point that Anchor Baby made as well, how the thought add on. Oh, I can make one comment here about when I was talking about superiority to inferiority. People start reading other things into it. Their mind got busy, and they missed the whole point of what I was talking about because the mind got busy and added on to it. Instead of staying present with that conversation, they would have seen where I'm coming from.
Yeah, and the speed that it comes at. They're already there, like right before you even try and reach for them. They're there.
Like, now they're going, no. I got to run, but Brandon, call me a good, stay with the prayer, and take one step at a time.
Okay, I will. Thank you, Jesse.
You're welcome. Let me know how it goes.
I will.
Super chat. Super.
Super chat.
Super chats.
Over on buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Madeline says, good morning, Jesse and team.
Good morning.
Brian from New Orleans, Louisiana, NOLA. Could not give you one example how that white cop was racist. Yesterday's call. If he drives the way he thinks, that explains why he was pulled over. He black. Love y'all.
Amazing. Thank you.
We did a poll on Trump's first 100 days. 66% of the chat gave him an A+.
Right on.
18% gave him an A-.
Boom.
And 15% gave him a B+.
I like A-, too. Still in the A category.
Yeah.
And then a B is not bad.
We didn't go below B+.
Right on.
For the options.
Thank you. Amazing. Thank you all.
Eric bought three coffees. Bill Lockwood is wrong about women being more nurturing. Men are superior to women at everything, including cooking, cleaning, and raising children. Children raised in single-mother homes are more likely to be promiscuous, have addiction problems, go to prison, than a child raised in a single-father home. Nice.
That's it.
Well, he says, when asked about how a person became the way they are, was it nature or nurture? The nurture aspect to a child's development is the guidance instilled by a father.
I don't want to read into what Bill was saying, because I was surprised when he said it too, but there is a role for the mother with the children. And the mother, especially in the first 3 years or so, she offered them that love, which is not love, but that fake love, but that's what the kids need. And then afterward, the father takes over, and that's when things go on. It's not like you're supposed to erase the mother out of the picture. What the? Oh, amazing. Thank you.
Nice. Nikia, I just wanted to say greetings to Brother Bill. Fellow sister in Christ from Clover Park Church of Christ. Nice.
Nice. Amazing. Thank you.
Calvin in Ohio. I wish I had more time to explain this. No reality. There's no superiority nor inferiority. It's the fact that we can see this in other countries throughout history in this nation. Systems always push this narrative. Whites are put on a pedestal and a greater. That same happened with the Nazi Germany and the Jews, says Calvin.
Amazing. Thank you, Calvin.
Ellickson. A very generous 20 coffees. The reason people is different character, because they lived in different situations, spiritual weaknesses. Those who live in envy, constantly not seeing the truth, it's called inferior. And those who has a little light to see, but also falls into darkness, is another judgment of men to call them superior. Fear in the heart of men drives people to deny the spirit of truth.
Amazing. Listen to the first 2 hours today, folks.
Ellickson, not sure.
Ellickson is responding to that. Thank you.
And Depressed Toilet bought 3 coffees saying white toilets are superior.
Amazing. Thank you. I got to stop there.
Okay.
Thank you. Let me go quickly to Ron out of Texas. Ron, you're on the air.
Hey, Uncle Jesse, how's it going?
All is well, Ron.
Good, good. I don't have a lot of time. I'm going to make it real quick. I'm going to read to you a Lyndon B. Johnson quote.
Okay.
And it goes like this. He said, if you can convince the lowest white man that he is better than the best colored man, he won't notice that you are picking his pocket. Hell, give him somebody to look down on, and he'll empty his pockets for you. So we're all being played. Okay? That's Lyndon B. Johnson.
And so are you responding to the first hour conversation?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so do you agree or disagree that white people are superior and the blacks are inferior?
Well, I agree with Bill. Bill, he tried to tell you the right way.
No, and I'm asking you, but Ron, can you call me back on this tomorrow?
I'm going to try. I've been really, I don't think I talked to you just in December, but I'm going to try to get you a
because
call.
I want to be fair to you because of time. Give me a quick yes or no. Do you agree that white people are superior and the blacks are inferior?
No.
Which one is
because,
no?
Whites are not superior to blacks.
Then why
in
do
general,
blacks want equality? Why do the blacks want equality from whites if they're superior too?
Well, it's something for the blacks to get back at the white man.
But why would a superior person get back at anyone for any reason?
I didn't say they're superior.
Oh, you said that the blacks are inferior?
No, I didn't say that.
But then you said they're trying to get back at the white man. Ron, call me back tomorrow because this ain't going to cut us off.
All right, Jesse.
Oh, when you can. I realize you might be busy, but when you get a chance, all right?
Yeah, I'm going to try to call you tomorrow.
All right, buddy. Bye.
All right.
I am so out of time, folks. Amazing conversation this morning. Check it out. Podcast the first hour or two. The whole show, but especially the first 2 hours. The Hate is coming up now. The Hate Report. Not the Fake Report. And then Joel Friday TV at 11. He black. And then the American Anchor Baby at 12. And don't forget to misinform tomorrow. Do the silent prayer, rebuildingtheman.com/prayer. And forgive your mothers and your father. Only if you want to be free. If no, don't do it. It's up to you. All right? You got to work on you. I understand most people are not going to do that. They love their misery. Stay in your hell. I'll be back tomorrow. Rick and others from Hampton, Virginia and others. I am out of time. Bye. Read or heard that some Republicans are starting to pull their advertisement from Google or whomever, right? Because so many conservatives are being shut down, discriminated against, shadow banned, and all that kind of stuff. So conservatives are starting to fight back. It is happening to us, too. I was just taking it one day at a time. But you can go to jlptalk.com and find all the ways to support us. You can check out rebuildingtheman.com and support our nonprofit organization. You can call 800-411-BOND, 800-411-2663. And don't forget to like, subscribe, follow, share, and Sunny! And also, we have thefallenstate.tv. Ring the bell. So, here's what I recommend. I invite you to download my silent prayer.
I know some people have called in and they wonder if the silent prayer is working. And I just want to take a second and to tell them that it works. You just have to stick with it.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I started doing before I even forgave my parents. And I was so depressed and suicidal at some times that I just would have to stop in the middle of my job or whatever I was doing and go into the silent prayer. And it really does help. Like, I don't have those anymore.
Amazing. You haven't seen anything yet. Doubt every thought. Bring every thought into captivity. Just let them all pass. Don't judge them. You haven't seen anything. It gets better and better and better and easier, easier, easier. So my gift to you, no charge, at rebuildingtheman.com/church.